Welcome to the National Black Writers Conference series, Writers on Writing. This is Dr. Brenda Green, Executive Director of the Center for Black Literature and the National Black Writers Conference. We bring you the National Black Writers Conference series, Writers on Writing, to introduce you to writers from a range of genres in Black literature and to let you have an opportunity to hear their stories and to hear them read. We want to expand everyone's knowledge about Black literature. And I'm pleased to have in the studio with me Mrs. Kadiatou Diallo, the mother of Amadou Diallo. And I'm particularly pleased because she came here on a long journey to Megar Evers College in order to have this interview and to share with the Megar Evers College population, student population, and faculty her story, her book, her latest book, My Heart Will Cross This Ocean, My Story, My Son, Amadou. Welcome, Mrs. Diallo. And I'm saying Mrs. Diallo because Kadiatou.
Yes, that's true.
Kadiatou.
Yes, you can say Mrs. Diallo, it's fine.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me and to give me this opportunity to come and speak at the college.
Well, thank you for coming. And your book was written in collaboration with Craig Wolf. I read the book. It's a very, very compelling story, and it gives us a really full story of Mrs. Diallo and her son. It gives us the background information that we need to see Amadou Diallo from a humanistic perspective. And so I'm going to start by asking Mrs. Diallo to talk about herself. Like, who are you? Give us your background. And
Thank you. I come from Guinea, West Africa, the northern part of the country, and I belong to the Diallo family. Diallo family is a very big, popular name, but not necessarily everyone is related. It is, I believe, it is a clan name, the Diallos, and so I come from a background with knowledge, education. My father raised us up as, children to be proud of who we are and to believe in education. In fact, my own father, who is Amadou first in my story, is named after my son. When he was born, I wanted him to have my father's name because he is the base, the foundation of our family. His own great-grandfather was the king of the village. And actually, he was the one who was chosen when the French people came to ask every family to give one child to be sent to the European school. My father was chosen by his own father to be sent to school. And then he discovered about reading and writing, and he was really, really very, very excited about what he discovered for the village. Mm-hmm. And then having to coming from a background of culture of religion, the Islamic religion, mm-hmm. that time it was really unusual to see all the girls to be sent to school.
Right.
But actually, my own father shaped our life and brought books, music, and poetry in the house. But then my own sisters, we have 9 children from my parents. I'm the number 4, and actually the 3rd girl in the family. I was given away when I was just 13 years old to be married.
That was traditional.
It was traditional and was not unusual in the rural area, the villages, but in the town, and even where, in our own environment and the way my father you know, shape our lives. It was very difficult for me. It was a very huge turnaround in my life.
Right, because you had been brought up to love education and books and music and literature, and you had a certain amount of freedom.
Yes.
And then to have to go back and follow tradition.
Exactly.
Was something very, very hard. And you were a bubbly child, from what I remember, and
oh, yes.
Very lively. And
I, you know, memories of going to the village and spending time with my grandmother when we go to the spring to the village to get water.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to feed me with yogurt, and I was very a round child with big cheeks. And really, while I was dancing, rejoicing, and really sharing stories with my friend, going to school, that time, as I said, that was the time I was big. You know, taken away from everything I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to move to Liberia with my new husband.
Right.
And that is the place Amadou was born.
I know that you're going to read something from the one section of your book, the preface, a little bit later. But there was one sentence that just the beginning, I just wanted to share with the audience and then ask you to comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
You said, "The first thing you should know about me is that I have been given away many times. I have been born on the shoulders of men who were willing to see me left and forsaken. I have been sacrificed, transferred, and conveyed so often. I know the feeling of being lifted and carried away. I know how the broken river branch feels." And I thought that was just such a powerful opening.
Oh, yes. I think this is my life. Imagine if you have a girl at the age of 13. And before then, I learned how to kick and strive for survival. When I was a child, my father almost, at the time when he was ill,
mm-hmm.
not in his own mindset,
mm-hmm.
almost dropped me from the fourth floor of the main hospital. That was the first time he almost, I was almost, gone.
Yeah. Yes.
Then he took me and gave me to a French woman.
Yes.
And the French woman was so happy to have this child. She wanted to keep me for her own. Until mm-hmm. my mother ran back and told her, mm-hmm. my husband is not in his right mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was given away to be married, then moving to from Guinea to yes. Liberia, I left behind me everything I knew. This is why I felt forsaken and I felt given away many times.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, as you go through my journey in this book, when you read everything that I, went through, you would realize that this was a girl who was trying to find herself.
Yes.
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 And the divorce, the single parenthood, being away in different countries because mm-hmm. I was following my husband.
Yes.
As he traveled to
mm-hmm.
find
Mm-hmm.
Right. places where he
right.
is doing his different businesses.
So you face many, many challenges and many obstacles, and then to come to the United States and face the tragedy. This line, "I know how the broken river branch feels," is so symbolic on so many different levels.
In so many different levels.
On your life.
Yes, and my life. And my life have been both difficult and amazing at the same time. I think it is a story of triumph, survival, when you find yourself lost and want to find a way. It's like when you are thrown in an ocean and you don't know how to swim.
Yes.
You have to learn how to do it.
And you say, "My heart will cross this ocean."
Absolutely.
Yes. Tell us about Amadou.
Well, Amadou, I used to say that we grew up together
mm-hmm.
because I had him when I was just 16 years old.
Yes.
And I think can I just read this part of the book, then I can go on and talk.
Mm-hmm.
He was a gentle boy. My son could not swim and feared water altogether. As a child, and even as he grew, he bathed so as to avoid showers. Water running over him made him anxious. I would take him to Sugar Beach, where the sand really looked and felt like sugar. It was fine and white, and it made you feel rich just to rest on it. The water was calm. I do not recall many waves. His friends played freely in the ocean, while Amadou went with me to the other side of the sandbar, where there was a small tide pool. He showed no fear there, but no mischief either. He liked to stand with his arms folded and look out. Separated from the sea by the dunes, he could pretend that he, Amadou, water up to his calves, was the king of all that surrounded him. Remembering him now, I can still sense the serenity he commanded. Amadou was a very sweet, loving soul. He used to be afraid of the water when he was a baby, and he was afraid of the dark. As he grew up, he developed some kind of shyness. Some people, you know, you will not notice him. He can listen so much and he speak little.
Mm-hmm.
He was the kindest person I ever known. He went to school in Liberia in kindergarten. Then we moved to Togo, where he went to primary school. And then on and on, we keep on, you know, cuddling these children and going from one country to another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in every country that you go to, you would take something away with you that will enrich your life.
Yes.
This was part of Amadou's life. He was my eldest son. And I can still sometimes speak of Amadou on the present tense, because for me, he's with me all the time spiritually. I could not believe that I'm not going to see him anymore in my life. This, the first thing I wanted to do when I heard Amadou wanted to go far away from me, I asked him, why you want to go so far away from me?
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, you have struggled so long and tried so hard to provide for me and my siblings. I must go to America so I can have, you know, my education, be successful, then I can take over and you may rest. Can you imagine a young man at that age, just after his 21st birthday, having this sense of responsibility to his parents, his mother particularly, and his siblings?
Yes.
That is remarkable.
Very, very, very special.
Yes.
And what was also very interesting is that when he came to this country, he did not really let you know how he was living.
No, absolutely. I describe in the book how shocked I was when I entered his apartment and I saw how modest his life was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reminded each time I call him on the phone, he will tell me everything is fine. I believe he was trying so hard, but then he found out that it was not easy here, but he did not want to give me something to think about. He just wanted to keep me, you know, to protect me.
Yes.
As we used to say, we love to protect our children, but at the same time, Amadou was a protector to me, and he wanted to save me from all the,
well, that
the
was
worries.
Part, yeah, and that was part of the relationship you had with him. You said you felt like you grew up together.
Yes.
So he was trying to prove himself and be the man.
Yes.
We're going to have to stop here for a minute, and when we come back, we'll continue the discussion. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Little Bo Peep has lost her marbles.
Old King Kong was a queen bee.
Humpty Humpty, fat and pimply.
If your child has trouble with the kind of poem that's supposed to rhyme, he could have a learning disability. But with the right help, most kids can do well in school. Call 1-888-478-MIND. Coordinate a campaign for learning disabilities. There's no reason to be held back. This message has been brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. This is Dr. Brenda Green, and I'm in the studio of Meg Rivers College with Mrs. Diallo, the mother of the late Amadou Diallo, and we're discussing Amadou, the young man who came to America looking for success and who wanted to help his family and was too proud to really let his mother know how challenging and difficult life here was in the United States. So we were saying that because of that, he did not let you know how he was living. What was he, you said what he was really trying to do. What were his dreams, some of his dreams, in addition to he wanted to come to this country particularly, and he wanted to help. Why this country? And what were some of his dreams and visions for himself in the future?
He was just a young man with drive to succeed, and he had seen America as a place where he used to love so much, even as when he was a young boy. Mm-hmm. He used to, even his t-shirts, that's everything is about America and the NBA, Michael Jordan and Michael Jackson. Amadou grew up loving everything about America. Mm-hmm. He wanted to save money to pay his own way for college. And you know that it's very expensive here.
Yes, particularly for international students.
Yes, and also the challenge for them is that you cannot be, you know, qualify for any kind of scholarship. Because it's very difficult. It's very limited, actually, to penetrate in the education system. But Amadou was saving all his money. He had saved enough money. Even before he died, he was ready to enroll in college. All in all, we found out that Amadou had saved about $9,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and he was paying his rent. And he's doing his own laundry and cooking his own food.
Yeah, he was so much more than the way he was painted.
Yes. And, you know, I think that so many young people are driving away from Africa by the system that is,
Within Africa.
In different countries. But for Amadou, I have to say, that was not the reason. Amadou decided that he wanted to do this independently. But so many people of his age has left Guinea and other part of the continent to come because of either undemocratic government or, you know, the social benefit and the education system does not help them much.
Right.
This is the reason. And the contracts is that here too, you have the young people, African American and other minority people, who are also struggling here.
Yes.
American young students. And they are oppressed. They have not been given all their needs. So you can see both ways. I have come to that level.
Right.
As a grieving mother, what happened to my son, I knew due to the experiences people have in Africa, and I have now learned the experiences people have had in America and continue to face this country.
And people, that's the part of America you don't see. You don't really know until you live here in this country.
Yes.
Well, what message would you, you know, I have a couple of questions. What message do you first have for people who do want to immigrate from Africa here? What can you tell them? And what can you tell the new immigrant? What must a person be aware of, particularly people of color and black males?
I think that it's fair to say if you come as a black immigrant in this country, your expectation before you come is so high, but when you get here, you come back to your senses and understand that it's not easy. Last year, I went back to Guinea, and I went to public schools to speak to students. They all want to come. Okay. The questions was, how could you help us to take us to America?
Mm-hmm.
I told them that I am concerned about those who are caught up in America now. And I want you to understand that they are struggling. It is not easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to hear it in Africa.
So
I think if those students who left Africa to come here can be successful in the education system, I would encourage them to go back and help those who are left behind. Because you cannot build up a country when everyone is gone.
Right, the brain drain.
Yes.
They're taking the people who it takes so much courage and perseverance to leave your country.
And a lot of money, too. And
yes.
Because they don't walk through the border like Mexico or something. They have to pay for their own airline ticket.
That's right.
And go to the process of the visa. And if they come here, mm-hmm. they have to pay for education and everything. So it's not easy. Africa today, there's a cry out from parents and many people who understand things need to change.
And the people who are coming, who are becoming educated, have that responsibility.
Yes.
To go and give back.
To educate and give back
to
and
give
let
back.
Them know that
right.
wherever you are, if you try hard enough, definitely you would have some kind of success.
Right.
But the answer is not necessarily mean. If you go to America or you go to Europe, mm-hmm. you would succeed. It's very hard.
And so they have to also be prepared for the sacrifice.
Yes, for the sacrifice.
Yeah. And I don't know, it's so hard to dispel that when you look at the media, you look at images, you look at what corporations are doing with the Coca-Colas and Ford and McDonald's. You see all of that. And, you know, as the movies and the television, it's really very difficult because they think all Americans have money.
Yes. And the solution is USA. That's the phrase that Amadou wrote for me as he was leaving.
The solution is USA.
Yeah, the solution for me is USA.
Oh, okay.
And I think so many young people have the same, the
right.
same idea.
Right.
It's not their fault. It's what they have mm-hmm. been presented before them. That's
yes.
what they see. And I'm not saying that everybody cannot succeed. You have professors who came from West Africa or East Africa who are teaching.
We have
here.
Many here at the college.
Yes.
At Maker Evers.
Yes, and they have been successful.
Yes.
But if you take the percentage of those who are compelled now to step back and drive taxis or sell on the street because they cannot have support to continue education.
Mm-hmm.
It's very devastating. It's very hard.
It is.
Yes.
But it's something that immigrants all over in our country are. I mean, I think it's the perception that immigrants have when they come here
to start over.
They're willing to start over.
Yes.
The other question I had for you is, I mean, of course, the whole tragedy brings up the police brutality and what it's like to be a black male in this country. And as a mother, I mean, I think you've felt solidarity with what all black mothers in this country and now in Africa, we worry every day about our sons in the streets because they can be stopped.
I know.
And
believe me, I share the pain of all those women who I've met in this country, and I understand. I share the grief and the pain, and mm-hmm. I am so grateful for so many people who, send us prayers and support. I think sometimes you think what you have done is useless when you see someone else get shot at every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like this past beginning of the year, another man has been killed from Burkina Faso, Osman Zongo. Another woman from here in Harlem, Mrs. Alberta Sproul. When you see this, you hear these stories, you would think that what I'm continuing to speak about is not helping. But at the same time, we cannot be deterred. We have to continue to raise awareness and tell the people that they need to be, to understand what had happened and to help us. We have to continue to speak out. We cannot give up.
Right.
If we give up, then so many children who have been killed will be for nothing. It will be in vain.
Yes.
Now as I speak, I have two sons in America. They are going to school. Believe me, if they are going, preparing to go to the movie at night, I'm shaking.
Yes.
So I understand.
Yes. And what do you say to your sons who are here in America? Because I think, it's particularly when you have children who raised to be independent, who have a certain number of material comforts, it's very hard for them to understand how vulnerable they are.
Yeah, but I think for my own sons, they know. They understand, and most of the young people I've met. Even interestingly, some white students came up to me and said to me that after my speaking engagement, when I finished speaking, they come up to me and said, "We recognize it is not fair. Our black friends are not working freely in our neighborhood, and it is not right." And I tell them all the time, what you are just saying is very important. You need to raise up this voice so that people will hear it.
Yes.
From time to time.
You have to acknowledge it.
Yes.
And I think that's part of even the whole discussion around racism and reparations is that the first step is getting people to acknowledge that a wrong has been committed.
Yes.
Getting people to recognize that racism is tied up into so many aspects of our country.
Yes.
And you can't be afraid to talk about it. So you have to have a number of platforms.
You have to face it.
Yes.
And address the issue. It's very important. You cannot ignore it. I always say that for me to tell about my son, I know he was killed just because he was black. And that is the truth. You cannot deny the fact that it is that. Because at that moment, as the police officers came to the neighborhood, if Amadou was white man standing at the front of the house, the police can just drive past by.
They would
not think to jump out and come right at him.
Yeah, that you're right. You're absolutely right. We're going to have to stop now, and I want to thank you for taking the time to come and sit with us.
Thank you.
In the studio. I want to encourage you to purchase My Heart Will Cross This Ocean, My Story, My Son Amadou by Kadiatou
yes.
Diallo.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much. Please stay tuned. Visit our website at www.nbwc.org. Send me an email about the program. And stay tuned to us every Sunday from 3 to 3:30, where you'll have an opportunity to hear writers from a range of genres discuss their works and tell their stories. This is Dr. Brenda Green signing off.